I have a special one tonight. It's called Happy Birthday, Alexi. First up on the open mic, we have Ben Burns.
Yo, isn't he the All Ireland slam?
No, he's
a Thai champion.
President Trump fell on his rump while eating banoffee pie. His wig came loose, and so did his shoes, and a moose ran away with his eyes, his eyes, his eyes, and a moose ran away with his eyes.
Thanks, Ben. Marta.
Last week I sat there and looked directly on these three lines as a quotation by Chesney from his poem Digging. And I came up with this poem just a few weeks ago because it was highly recommended by my English teacher, Ingrid. And then I thought this last three lines will be my first three lines. And I'll read this now. It's a Alexis, there's a little bit heavy stuff. If I had known that you had brought to your birthday, I would have brought another. But now okay, it's called Fatherland. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests. I'll dig with it as well as my forefathers did. The first attempt will cut into the garden, revealing layers of the earthy sense of soil. Come, my pen, and comrade, you can't rest anymore, for we are new here, trying to rid of impurity. Though no laundry washes away that which we delve in such ground, the yard was stained before as we write poems after Auschwitz. And I plow on beneath the sphere of great walls and find my fine face full of fine dirt. To what base use I may down return? While I remain in the core of earth, piled up beside the mound of dirt. Like my forefathers, I hold my pen restless between the finger and the thumb and labor over the past.
Thank you, Martin. Next up, Rosalind Crowley.
Happy birthday. This poem, I was searching, researching really, poetry of place, because I found that I'd written a lot of poems with names of places. And as I looked up poetry of place and Googled it, I found a story about a red cow that walks up and down the road. In the morning he walks one way, in the evening he walks the second way, she. And they called the road of the red cow. And seemingly it's somewhere near Mallow. This is the story. This is the poem that came from it. The red cow. By day she would wander on the road, one direction, self-driven by habit. By night she would return ready for the morning, so much of a routine that they called it the road of the red cow. Sometimes lives have so much routine, just like the red cow walked day and night, until maybe, either through choice or happenstance, the world as you know it changes. In the routine world, what would your name be? Road of the coffee run for sanity. Road of exercise of the lost cause. Road of laugh of the Irish heart. In the disrupted world, what is your name? Road of fall from the steep cliff. Road of spontaneous burst of the wind. Road of cry of the lonely spirit. The measured life is sometimes boring. It's safe and repetitive. Throwing caution to the wind. Well, what would you expect? Thank you.
Next up, Joe Smith.
Good evening. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Sure.
Thanks for that. I'm going to read another little extract from a story called Grapes. It's set in a Dublin housing estate called Myrtle Row. And the main protagonists are Terry and Mandy Evans, and they are middle class people. Unfortunately, there's a family on the estate, the O'Gahertys, of whom Cormac is a member, and he's pretty troublesome, as you will see. And Terry's in his garden, and he hears shouting, and he goes out to see what's causing the shouting. More shouting from the street, and louder this time. Terry decides to go out and see what the matter is. He opens the front door, heads down the garden path, and peers through a gap in the pyracantha. "Oh, hello there, Cormac," he says, as if pleasantly surprised. "Keep inside, Mr. Evans. I've no fight with you." Cormac is dressed in army combats. His face is streaked with paint, and various weapons are strapped to his body. "Nice enough day," Terry says. Neighboring curtains twitch hopefully. Terry Evans is one of nature's diplomats. His easy voice helps the other residents to believe that a friendly conversation is going on and there's nothing to worry about. But Cormac is not in a chatty mood. He turns his back on Terry and moves farther down the street. 2 10-year-old boys playing down by the river see him approaching. His rolled up sleeves reveal arms covered in tattoos. He stands legs apart, braced to meet imaginary foes. There are grenades hooked onto his belt, a black side-handled baton hanging at his side, a samurai sword in a scabbard across his back. He swivels suddenly around as if to counteract an unexpected attack. "Come out, you chickens!" he screeches. There is a sawn-off shotgun stuck down Cormac's belt. The two young boys, when they notice this, glance uncertainly at one another, turn around, and run off towards the green area by the river. Terry, moving around to get a better vantage point, gets a thorn from the pyracantha stuck in his thumb and curses Mandy, still clutching the half cauliflower, scuttles down towards him in her slippers. Are you mad? She hisses in his ear. Come inside this minute. Terry wipes her saliva from the side of his cheek and smiles tolerantly. Cormac swaggers on, twisting his head from side to side like a dinosaur in Jurassic Park. He kicks over a wheelie bin, stamps down on it with a Doc Marten boot, and his foot goes right through it. He jerks his foot frantically back and forth, trying to free it. The black plastic makes an insane, grating noise on the concrete. Fucking informers, Cormac shouts. Slime! Come out, you fucking rats! He must be on something, Mandy Evans says. I'm calling the police. She hurries back inside and lifts the phone. That's right, Garda, right in the middle of the road, roaring and shouting. What? I don't know. She puts her head around the door. Terry, are the weapons real? I don't think so, Terry replies. Wait till I see. He sticks his head out through the gap to get a better view. The samurai sword's not real, he's sure of that. And the grenades are definitely plastic. Imitation stuff he got in Tanaka's, probably. Tanaka wouldn't dare sell real grenades. Not that Terry has ever been in Tanaka's martial arts emporium, of course, but he's heard stories about the place. He glanced in 2 weeks ago on his way to the barber's and saw a man in a wife beater with bulging biceps covered in tattoos of snakes and dragons. They should close that place, the barber had said, bunching up Terry's hair painfully and slicing. Bloody Orientals coming over here. Terry's eyebrows were pulled high as the barber tightened on his hair, forefinger and thumb shaped like a gun. Orientals, my eye! A man sitting in the queue said. What? The man rattled his newspaper scornfully. The owner's not Japanese. He's from bleeding Finless. Finless? The barber said, his eyebrows raised almost as high as Terry's now. Sam McNamee, from Belfast originally. The Falls Road. Thank you.
Next up, Mary Nagel.
An address of aerobic respirators. Kite not as kite. Falling faster than a torpedo. All steel. It would make of your body an indent in concrete, and that blood of yours would fly approximately 10 feet. We're unaccustomed to skate steel kites, we know. The rolls of wind they require would embarrass the human mind, perhaps to laughing. Perhaps humans should refrain. Merely floating steel may even intrigue your kind, so gravity fixated. We do not blame you. Seas offer watery proximity. Think of silver fish, not blowing bubbles. Your bullets do beautiful things with air. One of your finer inventions, we feel. Self-target, admittedly, reveals a regrettable immaturity in your race. But some good things in it. Poet promptly keels. Such emotional and restraint fills our screens. It is much analyzed and discussed. We conclude that at root, the human does not feel herself in control. We are much amused by your she substitution phase, sometimes chanting, work still to be done! Those free will papers, incidentally, proved most instructive concerning your delusions and mistakes. We assure you, some good things in it.
Thank you. Cedric.
Yo! Cedric wins the five-month challenge. All right, cool.
That was a long time ago.
I hear ya.
The MC is building back tonight, isn't he?
Yeah. There's still a parenting.
come on. This one is titled Duff. We have been forever on those grounds, or so it seemed to me. I know that we were familiar strangers, that the language barrier might have been cemented by hatred on both sides, but I hoped we would meet and understand each other when we see eye to eye. I was blind, ignorant of both feelings, yours and mine. Looking back, I only see my hypocrisies about your prices. I only wanted you to accept my reason, to cheer, welcome my salvation. I convinced myself that anything was better than your dust, even the stripes and my perverted lust. I remember how I caged myself that day when I came. The freedom I brought with me for you after the hell we would go through. I was naive despite not being innocent. The wall between us did not crumble when I reached to you. Neither did the hit help to you for you to open. The struggle sunscreen broke me open instead. We did not speak the same language, but I can feel your word of anger and desperation, even now. I'm free to go anywhere, but I'm jailed, prisoner behind the bars of your memory. I envy that freedom I took from you, that came from the dust you returned to. I want to wait for someone like me to grant me oblivion, to join you in rest, in rust, into the dust.
Thank you so much. Let's stop for the show.
This is called Coliseum Record. Aborted perhaps to save a kingdom, bloodlines fall to its recommend face. Going like a train alive at 9 at night, mastering thoughts through my head multiply. Keeping safe, I'm monarch's jewels already. Fearing the past and its financial surprises, I have no worse, there is none. The nothing is the relief. A soft landing in due course. The black bag full of maiden missionary strips falls over itself to gorge on fame. Adventures are few and far between. Flick the switch and watch it oscillate between thermostats. Warmth on demand until the poles flip. Mastering unnecessary wiles as in the state. Over and over, above what it should be. The occasional clean earns its merit. Keeping things sweet and done deed. Multicolored tobacco in the sink tank. Variegated cutlery spikes the water. Cleared for better bearing, a recycled trick. Mechanisms remain silent, the day that's in it. Sleeping for necessity to a fuller power. Switching off all the lights, a happy exercise. Recycling misgivings come to the fore. Bettering its purpose, being alright. Thank you.
Next up we have Felix Pilar.
So I'm going to read two poems tonight. The first poem is one I was originally going to read out, and the other was actually based with 5 words today. I just had time to finish it. So the first one is like it's based off like a combination of different legends worldwide, including Irish, Australian, Native American, Aborigine, and like a combination and into this one interesting character that yeah, just you see with the poem. If you can name where all the legends came from, you're awesome. Among my head grows memory hair, and where I step grows fungi. So I walk in a circle, letting them bud out, crisp, white, and spongy. Slowly while they grow, they age, and they become stone. A stone circle more profound and amplified in mystic and power, because they somehow echo the moon's sunlight. And my own dreaming track, I backtrack to the spot, retracing the old stone mushrooms world I laid long ago. When I was younger, was a rainbow coat, and my antlers branched out, smothered in amber leaves. Because I've aged, I've become bold, I've lost my memory now. Losing my will and troubles, I ghost in younger orange remains, useless and lost. And what's fearful is, I feel it falling more. I feel like a reaper walking among Gaia's turf bosom. Thank you. So I'm talking about horror poems, this could develop into one. So I might develop this later on. A illustrated moon, red racks this birthday cycle. With it, a flippant pepper taste of change came too soon in the wind. So leave your hats and caps by the graves. Leave doors fully locked, tressed in daisies. Leave the dead rise to knock on the living relatives' doors and whisper a false human recognizable voice. Open the door. Open the door. Remember me? Open the door. Don't open the door till dawn.
Thank you. Thank you. Next up, Michael Ray.
Sundown. The future has come ashore here. The elderly in their hats and skin cancer step out late afternoon to stare at the surfaces of swimming pools, as if inhaling chlorine and cracking iced gin might be a cure. Their homes sit awkward in the sun, like beached icebergs inclined to where the sandy necked peninsula reaches out and the ash from evening barbecues settles like milled foam.
Next up, we have Mike Spittle.
Come on, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
We got in this weekend and we got to see Nun, and she said, what are wrong about where the Icarus is? And we just couldn't, we can find it because the traffic is savage in Innes, as you probably know. So this is just a couple of voices being warned, you know. One of them is improv. Icarus fell down badly in directing our way, melted wings and burning rubber. Circuitous fair. Playing spin the bottle, battling with the road, and stellate ganglion synapses, a labyrinthine motherlode of a road. Where are we now, north or southwest? No way could we find on trade, though we did our gallant best. And then you direct me to the lovely guns, the pectoral department and be silly and undone. So I melted my bingo wings and softened to your form, and Icarus fell from that sky, but I melted in your arms. I fell off me cloud, you pushed me, landed with a bang, you woke me, labouring under misapprehensions, they say, suffering from delusions, wrapped in your cocoon, sure of course my vision was obscured, but I've landed with a plump, melted waxy wings of Icarus, because I sailed too close to your bleeding sun, and I banged right off my cloud, crash landed in reality in my bum. But silver lining is I feel humidified, and I'm falling and scintillating, sparkling drops, and I am liberated. So that the improv tonight was all the men went straight in. I couldn't say that word. All the men filed straight in and disorderly queue to the fruity, juicy, fruity cinnamon, venison. Eager for the to see their spicy eye candy. Flossie Pepper was her trade name. She could work her boa and flick it at them to tame them. But for her birthday extravaganza, she wore a crackerjack hat. She was kind of special like that. She liked to frame her ruby hair in plaits and daisy chains that dangled straight down and back. But flippant in her easy charm, if you dared to flip her with your ash at her, or if you were frugal at her cash register, she'd flip you the bird, and she'd scald your stingy fingers with a Chinese burn. So make sure to tip old Pepper, or you might come to regret her extra special sparkling hat. Stings me in old fingers when they feel it.
Next up, Eugene. Eugene Crowley.
Oh, it's changed. Changed utterly. Not so. Two graves filled a generation ago. That bitter bitch nemesis has had her day. Caress of a passing bullock. Minions continue to spin. Keep your head below the parapet. Not so. I continue to see the butterflies and the poppies. Shame.
Thanks, I have a Trump poem bubbling inside me. This is not it. But it's on the way, and I think this is kind of a precursor to it. I wrote this a while back and I rewrote it. And it's called Can't You See Mr. Brown? But if you wanted to, you know what to do. And there's a word in it. I don't usually like explaining words, but I didn't know what this meant, and I had to Google it myself. So I think it's pronounced copacetic.
Yeah.
And it means completely satisfactory or in good order.
Yeah.
Thanks for confirming that for me, Ron. I appreciate your expertise. I had doubted the Oxford English Dictionary until this moment. Can't you see, Mr. Brown, when chances choke before the sun is shining, rebel music in revolution means survival. Can't you see, Mr. Brown, in a concrete jungle, bad boys want more than fussing and fighting, burning and looting. Can't you see, Mr. Brown, you can't do that to me is a reaction to years of waiting in vain to wake up and live without a lonesome feeling. Can't you see, Mr. Brown, people must get up and stand up when power and no sympathy, your cornerstone wisdom, is riding high. Can't you see, Mr. Brown, running power and more power slogans from misty morning to moon dusk creates pressure and war. Can't you see, Mr. Brown, in a concrete jungle, revolution is a redemption song, a symphony for a copacetic dreamland to come in from the cold. Can't you see, Mr. Brown, people want more positive vibrations, more wisdom, more love light shining. Tell me, Mr. Brown, why can't you see?
Thank you, Stan. Now we have two poets left. First one is Kieran McCarthy.
Said a while ago, but we've got a show on the Unitarian Church this week. If you can see it, it's going to be super funny. The 11th, so the Wednesday to Saturday at 8 o'clock.
So called?
It's called Will It Fit in the Van, and Rad, their technical manager.
And the PR manager.
Paul. will it? That's gonna see, but figure it out.
Big fat.
I know you. You take a slice of convenience, I bet. And what you lack for in money, you'll pay for in sweat. And the salt of your kin will flow through the river of your city, wash into the streams and fill up the seas. I know you. I met you on your knees. And remarked to my friends how you still said please. Still held respect for the past, while full of regret. Gave the best of your last away while at full stretch. I know you. Your name was talked of in the trees. Your praises were sang through the flutter in the wings of the bees, and in the cracking sounds of egg full nests. Honored in strange ecosystems, a respectful guest, and accepted from those breathing with you, nothing less. Smile through bright eyes, through your darkest times, and gave an honest answer when questioned on your crimes. I know you, and your capacity to kill. Without the support of open arms, you probably will lean on fractured pillars and feel their balance tip and incriminate your hands for their lack of grip and strengthen your aching fingers so that next time you won't slip. And in a stronghold of passion, strangle form of thoughts, the counterweights and catapults of a mind pulled taut. I know you. Your mercy built the walls of my house, where I live and work. And the sun trap in the garden, and the welcome matted perk, where your breath brings the evening rain that I drink in, to the salt rocks, the morning's labor, and form on my skin. And I'll build again the roads and streetscapes we'll be walking in. For I might see you strolling slowly through the afternoon, and share a smile to appreciate design choices of the room. And breathe today anew, for every day I build the world as every day do you.
And finally, the mic is yours, Rab.
A long way.
Maybe I'll get your fucking job. So we're going to do this thing we do. This is my my glamorous assistant. And you know the thing we do, La Boca della Veritas?
No.
The Mouth of Truth. On the way to East Convocation.
First time hearing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll go well. You can start anyway.
Yeah, I will.
Oh,
on the way to this convocation, we stopped at the motorway service station. There we found a mouth of truth, no lie. I put my money in the crack. I got my electronic feedback telling me stuff about my life. No lies. Said you're a crusty, you are bad, grew up stomach like a little lad and tell your cap to right me wrong, don't tell lies. Get in the wreck without responsibility. Know yourself and your capability. Act like a mother for the truth. Don't tell lies. He said, take this message to the convocation. Shout it out, give a demonstration. Speak up, be a mother for truth. Don't tell lies. He said, don't tell lies, no more lies.
So we're just coming up to the end. Of the 499th event. So next week is 500, yeah? I think I did my maths. But before we go, please. Claire Crowther.
Yeah.
Okay.